next on Girlfriend.
I believe all anger is self-anger, just like all emotions are self-emotions.
So how do women deal with their anger in their relationship?
Poorly. Very poorly. In my mind's eye, it's narcissistic to go into a relationship and to bury yourself for the other individual.
Welcome to Girlfriend, Relationship Radio Rebooted. I'm Jeff Newman for BDGX.com, and our hosts, once again, Cynthia Chavan, full-time psychic and our expert in relationships, and John Miles, Cynthia's husband. He's a certified practitioner of hypnosis and NLP. Today on Girlfriend, we're going to deal with anger. How do you deal with anger in a relationship? And later on, our building block for a better relationship is as if. Cynthia, let's start with anger and anyone in a relationship, regardless of with whom they're in that relationship with, experiences anger at some point in time. Some on a consistent level. But let's talk about
some on a habituated level too. It becomes so habituated into their business, into their being, that they don't even realize they're being angry. And that's kind of the hardest one to see in yourself. You can always see in yourself when you've lost your temper and, you know, you're going full speed ahead for the jugular of somebody, but it's very hard to see when you have this underlying disdain, anger that's going on.
Now, let's do this pragmatically. Where sure. does the anger come from? Is there a place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it comes from the relationship itself at all. I believe all anger is self-anger, just like all emotions are self-emotions. They came with you. They weren't created from the circumstances that you're in. And when I say self-anger, I do believe in its self-anger. It starts with the self. The person gets angry at themselves for them being in the situation, or they get angry at themselves because they haven't received such and such, and they thought they should be worthy of getting something and did not. So what's wrong with me is usually the general internal conversation and conflict. So I think it's our internal conversations and conflict that causes our anger and our projection of our needs onto other people that stimulate that anger and give it fuel.
What about things like that are very easy to identify? You can be angry over a financial situation in the household. You can be angry over some decisions made on the household, but you're taking it out on your significant other. How do you deal with that anger, even once recognized where it came from?
Well, you know, dealing with one's anger has to come from first the shift in one's behavior and recognition that it is yours, came with you, will be there, and it stems from fear. Because oftentimes, you know, when I say fear, because people will have money and they'll still be angry. They will have health and they will still be angry. They will have a good relationship and still be angry. But that does not mean that they're not in fear. They may be sitting there in fear. They're waiting for the shoe to drop. They don't have some kind of belief system or value system of themselves that allows them to feel safe. So I believe anger is an extension of feeling unsafe in a situation. And it's not in the situation externally, it's in the internal situation, the internal dialogue that we have with ourselves. So when you're in that kind of situation and somebody is taking something out on somebody else, the first thing the individual who has the anger issue has to do is stop and come to the conclusion, this is not about them, and it's not about the finances, and it's not about whether the credit card is overdue. It is about my feeling of safety. Because if all these things were gone, and many people have all those circumstances gone, there's people that don't have financial problems, don't have marital problems, don't have any kind of problems, but yet they're still basically angry. You see it all the time on the road. So if it was a situation, the anger would go away when the situation went away. But most people play the game of, okay, that situation solved, now where can I put it on next? So they up the ante so they can still have an emotional release of their anger. So they have to come to the conclusion that it's theirs, only theirs, and it comes from a feeling of fear. They don't feel safe about something, whatever that is. Either they don't feel safe or worthy that they have the money, therefore it's got to go away. They don't feel safe enough that or worthy enough that they are loved, so therefore the good marriage, they test it and test it and test it with their anger until finally it goes away.
in this, and John, I want to get to you in a second because you're usually the one who brings in the yin and yang. Is anger or the expression of madness, to use a word, healthy?
No. No. It takes a huge amount of life force out of your body and projects it away. So I actually believe it's probably one of the top 10 reasons why we have so many diseases and disorders in our bodies. I do not believe anger is effective as a tool to relate to somebody. I think it's degenerating. It takes the energy right out of your body. It's depleting. And nobody ever finds a resolve to it unless you take it on down to what the original source of the problem is, which is the person who is expressing anger is in fear. They do not feel safe on some level, and they are using anger as a protection mechanism so they don't deal with the underlying issue.
What about a collective anger? What about something that I have in common with my wife? We're both angry about the bad teacher, or we're both have anger issues with that neighbor that bothers us.
Right. Well, you've got a collective anger. It just means that in some way, shape, or form, you still have the same issue on that subject matter. If it's not about safety, it's worth, and if it's not about worth, it's you're identified with each other on a common place of insecurity.
An unhappy coincidence.
A happy coincidence, because at least y'all predicted someplace else other than on each other.
You know, you mentioned anger on the roads, and I have realized when I get behind the wheel, everyone else is my enemy. For some silly reason, maybe it's just driving.
That's because you're from New York.
That part of it. So how does one deal with anger?
Well, again, the first thing is to own it, to understand that it's related to a safety issue, or a fear issue, or some other emotional content underneath the energy itself of anger. So even if you're angry in the car, that is not the root of your anger. The person that's driving next to you is not the root of your anger. Maybe you're feeling lesser than because the person caught you off, so therefore why should you be treated like that? Mm-hmm. We put a lot of anger on equality, which of course then is just an inferiority situation lying underneath a value system. Once more, about feeling lesser than or greater than, because we can get angry by feeling pretty obnoxious with ourselves and that we're greater than, and why don't people see our greatness, and why aren't we treated in a great way? Mm. You know, why I was so nice, why didn't they let me in?
It's a very basic principle, but it goes all the way from something very basic all the way up to
survival.
Countries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, areas of the world that will never see peace because of something very fundamental.
Well, yeah, but you see, the very fundamental of non-peace in oneself is the same foundation of non-peace in our culture and in our world. There is no separation between your anger and the philosophy or anger of a group, organization, religion, or culture. It is the same base anger, a feeling of fear, lesser than, greater than, what have you. Everything that I went down the line with before is the same thing that you'll find in cultural differences. Superiority, inferiority. I have to make you look the way I want you to look in order for me to feel safe. So it's all over. What happens to one happens to all. What you feel as an individual on that road is the same thing that people feel culturally. It may be expanded. You know, it may be expanded, it may not be on the same subject, but it's still the same basic principle of fear and separation. Fear, separation, not a sense of safety, don't feel good about yourself, insecurity, so the shoe's going to drop, what have you, creates overall an angry person. So how can you get rid of it? You own it and decide that it doesn't service you, that your insecurities are not met by spewing out anger, your inferiorities aren't satisfied by spewing out anger, or your superiority is not satisfied by spewing out anger. It doesn't bring you what you overall want to get. It's just a tempest in a teapot.
But that the anger and the hatred is taught in cultures. can that ever
go away? Yeah. Yes, it can, but I think it starts with each individual. First, it starts with the individual owning their own anger and not responding to that anger and saying, this does not service me. It's my energy. I can code it. I can label it. I can use it. It's my energy. Where do I want to use it? How do I want to use it? How do I want to respond to something instead of react? We do have choices, and when you call your energy back into your system, into your body, because to me, anger is actually an energy system that you project out from your body. So if you could think of taking a pint of your blood and splattering it on the wall, you have a pint less of blood, and it takes a little while to recoup that blood. The body will rebuild that blood, but you're down and you're worn and you feel stress, because the body feels stress when it's not fully functioning with all the blood that it should have in it. Well, the body feels stress when it's not functioning with all the energy that it should have in it. And when you project your energy out, when you project your anger out, you project your fear out, your value system out on an outward level, then you deplete the energy that is in your core that could resonate reason and thought and ability to come up with a different line of action or reaction to every situation.
Just want to make a quick note.
Sorry,
here.
David.
No, it's all right.
Are you angry?
Not at all.
I love you.
Love you too, babe. The analogy is sort of like in the Middle Ages when people would leech. There was an idea that if you attached a leech to the body and it drew out the blood, that would be somehow better for the individual. I'm not sure if that's really true or not, but the analogy of releasing anger, or letting it go, it energizes it. I think it's a false positive. You know, when people feel better after they release anger, but
they just feel remorseful, and so they think it's better.
Cynthia, even if it's psychological, if I think that I'm going to work out my frustrations by hitting the heavy bag at the gym, that's healthy for me.
But that's
it
not,
tires
that's not
you out,
that's
but it doesn't
anger,
get rid of your anger.
That's not anger release.
No.
I wanted to quickly say something here about anger. You know, there's anger, the feeling of anger. Anger is a feeling. It's not a verb, right? Mm-hmm. So people feel anger. People often associate anger with the expression of the energy. And the issue is...
With
the violence of the energy. The question is that expression healthy? The answer being no.
No, I don't think hitting a bag gets rid of your anger. I think it tires you out and you lose your energy for a bit to be angry. But it doesn't mean that it gets rid of your anger. So whereas when you get angry, maybe you want to kickbox something, and when I get angry, maybe I want to go buy something. That's what it is. That's the action on it, but it's not the underlying issue. So I agree with the top part that we handle our angers differently, but that goes not only from the sex of one person to another. That also goes into religion. That also goes into all different kinds of ways that people handle the feeling of anger.
So let's talk about how
the underlying current of anger comes from the same place.
So how do women deal with their anger in their relationship?
Poorly. Very poorly. Generally speaking, I've seen people go off the wall, chase people down, scream at them. I have anything that you've seen a man do, I've seen women do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of difference. Have I seen passive aggressive anger where somebody would go out and spend oodles on the credit card? Yeah, but I've seen that also in men. Have I seen passive aggressive anger where they're not going to be home on time? Yeah, on both sexes. I'm here to tell you that in the action part, I haven't seen a tremendous difference in how somebody expresses their anger. Now, as far as what you're talking about, how to disperse the anger and how to get rid of the anger, from a feeling level, yes, I've seen some differences.
Give us an example.
You're talking about, like, well, if you go out and you hit that bag thing that you're talking about. Well, some women do work with that. Some women do find that it helps them.
And it does. Is it healthy? Because I think it is.
I think all it does is tire you out, and then you get back and you're tired, and that's good. So you forget about being angry for a while, and that's good. However, it doesn't go away.
Let's end the statement there, because
the physical exertion might tire me out. While I'm doing, with me, it's basketball. I'll go out and shoot baskets until I'm totally drenched and exhausted. And it helps me deal with whatever problem might be on
right.
me. And anger might be one of them. And I'm telling you that it does help me because it helps me psychologically as well as the physical drain.
Right. It
then
tires
I will
you out.
Go and figure out how to deal with it.
But it's a good way to clear things out. The intensity of the emotion gets cleared out to where you can deal with it at an issue level.
Gotcha. I understand. Right. But again, we're talking about how do we deal with the feelings of anger. And I'm saying the underneath of anger is the same principle of how to deal with the underneath, the ruling.
Okay, well, so, give us an example of how women should deal with this issue.
Okay.
Not keying cars and
right,
being
right.
crazy.
Oh, yeah. Seen all kinds of things. And some of them work their energy out by going out and doing physical athletics, you know, or maybe it's punching the bag. Some take taekwondo, all kinds of things. But again, it's just a matter of that lets the steam off. It doesn't get rid of the underlying issue. And the way to get rid of the underlying issue is like anything. You have to pull back in the resources of the energy itself in order to find a different way to code those energies, express mm-hmm. those energies, and put those energies to work for you.
You have a meditation that you've been developing in
yes,
this regard.
Yes, I sure have.
Did you give it a name yet?
No.
It's called Cynthia.
It involves pictures in a door frame and
a
window.
Yeah, it's bringing your energies back through the door of transformation. And so it's a jambalaya. It's a jambalaya of energy techniques. And what you do with your anger or any other issue that you have is that you stand in the room of your own self-conscious and you see where your energies are coming from your body to the circumstances and emotions and pictures that you see on your own internal wall. And then you pull literally the cords of those energies back through the door of transformation.
Okay. This is going to be something that we'll record for everybody
right,
and then we'll
right.
release it on the website.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you
and,
can all, and by then we'll have a name for
so
it.
Let's look at it just like decoding and recoding. Don't we do that all the time? I don't know that you can do it on a CD, but we do it with tapes all the time. You erase what's on the tape and you record again on top of it, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and why do you do that? Because what's on the old tape no longer interests you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then you put what you want to see, what's viable, what makes you feel good, what you can work with on the new tape, which is actually the old tape. So all this door of transformation is taking the old language that has been programmed inside of you, allowing the clarity and the wisdom of the experiences that you have to come through, and decoding it back just into life force with your own mind. And what I mean by life force, it would be raw energy sitting there waiting for you to direct and say, take me here and take me there. And you'd be amazed at how fast you will feel full. You don't have to deplete your energies to fill your energies. You just have to stop expressing your energies for a moment to pull the energies back inside of you. Then you'll feel full. You'll come up with different ideas of how to handle your anger.
I actually have done this meditation with Cynthia a couple of times. It's very interesting. I'm thinking you just said it. It's probably called the Door of Transformation.
Right.
That's probably
exactly.
what it's going to be called, ladies and gentlemen out there in the audience. So we'll release Door of Transformation on the website as a separate meditation, as a download for people that they can put
That'd
on their iPod.
That'd be wonderful, and you can use it for anything. Anywhere where you're stuck in a behavior pattern, anywhere where you feel like you've done this before and you can't get away from yourself, why are your thoughts never moving? How can you have a new thought if you don't have any energy to have a thought?
So,
we have so much energy splattered out there on the walls of our subconscious that we're working on 10% of our body's energy, and that's why we fall ill, that's why we get depressed, that's why we can't think our way out of a bag.
It's interesting when you work out.
Sorry.
Interesting, Jeff, when
Getting
you work
excited.
Out, when a guy works out, and when you work out, you aren't projecting the anger. You're dissipating it within your own core. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not projected into a relationship or onto a person at the fast food restaurant. It's not projected out into the world in a damaging way.
Right.
It is simply released through a physical process.
What is the advice to parents to give to their children? If someone hits you, you hit them back. I still think that that's good advice because that's self-defense.
Right.
But what if something else makes the kid angry? What if it's jealousy or envy or
greed? Why don't
you
get down to their insecurity? Well, find out where they feel insecure. Yeah. Help them with their insecurity.
Well,
the anger will go away.
The kid's 7 years old. He doesn't know what insecurity means.
You start conversing with him. And a very astute parent and listens very well. You'll find out what his issue is. You ask him, how do you feel? What do you think about that? Well, I don't know what I think about that. Oh, well, then you tell a metaphor or something, and then they go, well, you know, I really don't like that. Oh, well, yeah, really? Why? Because it makes me feel stupid. They'll tell you. They will come up to the plate and tell you, as long as you're willing to sit there and listen and not necessarily talk a whole lot, but respond in appropriate places. You'll find that they are better in touch with what they think is wrong than what you think they know. And the reason being is they don't like to talk because they want to give the answer that you will approve. But when you're open into listening and you never bash them for what they're saying, they will give you the answer to what they're feeling and what the underlying core is.
That's the advice of Cynthia Chavan. You can hear the podcast on iTunes, or you can get it on her website, www.cynthiachavan.com. That's Cynthia, C-H-A-U-V-I-N. And I do recommend you do that, because a lot of the things you say just fly right over my head or under my radar, and I have to hear them two or three times to actually grasp it.
Glad you're enjoying it.
And this is why I married her.
We will be right back. We're going to come back and talk about some building blocks for better relationships right here on BDGX. We are back with Girlfriend Relationship Radio Rebooted. Jeff Newman on BDGX.com. Of course, we're with John Miles and Cynthia Chavan. We are going to move on, because what we also like to present on Girlfriend is a building block each week, a building block for better relationships. And before we go on the air, John always gives me the building block, and I never understand it, and I don't right now. But the building block this week is as if. Can you expand on that?
Well, yeah, it's about how does one make a decision on any subject. And it recently came up, and I said, well, act as if this was not a problem. What would be your decision if your feelings and emotions were gone, if the circumstances that you would normally react to weren't there? Let's take a situation about a piece of property, because this is really what came up. We have a piece of property in New Orleans, and we were thinking about selling it. Mm-hmm. And what would we do with the money that we got after we got it? What would we do with it? So I said, act as if there was no financial restraints whatsoever. Mm-hmm. What decision would you make to do with that cash as if there was no obligations, no other circumstances whatsoever? Then you know you have made a very clear decision of what you truly want to do.
Give me another example that doesn't involve money. Give me one that's more emotional or intimate, because while I understand that, uh-huh, I'm not sure that the clean slate scenario is applicable in life. When making big decisions, usually there's a reason why I'm going to sell something. Usually there's a reason why I'm going to say something.
Yeah, but you don't know if it's a good reason to sell something. That's where people get into that scenario of, gee whiz, I wish I had held on to it. If I had more money, I would have held on to it. I held on to the stock. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, they come back and they recapitulate later that they didn't like the decision. They were only reacting to the circumstances that they were in at the moment. All circumstances change moment to moment. So you're making a decision about a moving target that could be different in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the way you make a good decision is to move the circumstances out and say, what do I really want to do? What is my overall goal? What do I want to manifest and create in my world? What do I want to do as an individual?
I can just use another quick money example. When you're buying something, you can take the price tag off it.
Do I
want it?
Do I really need it?
Do I want it?
Excellent.
And the price is
excellent.
Sort of, it becomes relevant if it's too expensive.
Or cheap. People buy things just because they're cheap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, I can get six of these. Yeah, but do you want it? Do you want it? Do you like it? Do you want to keep it? Do you want to wear it? Or do you want it because There are six of them, and you can get six of something for nothing. So if you take the price tag off, like John said, is an excellent metaphor. Then it'll let you know if you actually want to do what it is that you think you want to do.
So is this your advice as a building block for a better relationship, to work with your spouse or significant other?
Take
the price tag off.
Okay. Yes. Take the price tag off of what you perceive you need to do in a relationship to have the relationship. Then you'll get down to what you want. And then you can be present for your partner.
But sometimes, Cynthia, the stakes are so high, or the reason for making a decision is based on knee-jerk reaction or reacting to other circumstances. I don't know that as if builds a better relationship with the majority of the decisions you have to make in a relationship.
I have to say that I disagree, and I'm not saying I'm perfect and that I do this, but I think there are very few situations in life where EMS needs to be called. Okay. You know, the really very few. Most things will sit for a little bit, and you can let the emotion out and take the price tag off and then move forward from an authentic place. And I'm not saying I could do this. I'm just saying I've seen this in movies.
I try.
We do
That's
it.
How I make my decisions. I go, okay, act as if. Act as if John didn't say that. What is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this that you want, Cynthia? Because if you don't know the self, if you don't know yourself and you don't know what you want and you don't know who you are and you're in a relationship and you're bouncing around in the experiences, you're not having a relationship. You're just having a fun old time looking at your subconscious plastered all over everything, everywhere. You're not engaged in a ability to relate to another human being. Yeah. So when you act as if, it gets down to what is it that you truly want to do? Who are you? What do you want to express? How do you want to see yourself in the world without anybody else's opinion making a difference?
I might try to do that, but it might make my spouse angry. And there we start the circle again.
Not if you come to it honestly.
If I think about that on most decisions I have to make, I would be extremely narcissistic, and I think it would take a whole lot out of the yin and yang in my relationship.
I disagree. I don't think that's narcissism at all. I think actually it's self-centering. It is self-centering, not selfish and not narcissistic. It is self-centering. It's in my mind's eye, it's narcissistic to go into a relationship and to bury yourself for the other individual. And it's also narcissistic to ask the other individual to bury themselves for you, meaning to not create the world that they want. You're a partner and a partnership, and that itself is respect. And if the other individual needs something that you don't, then you sit there and you have a conversation, but you know what it is that you want. There's always room for compromise after you have the foundation of self to compromise from. Otherwise, it's like John said, leeching.
Blood leeching, yeah.
Blood leeching.
I think taking the price tag off is an as-if frame of mind is something that will help clarify. I'm not saying it would be successful every time, but if you do it enough, I think it'll start to work in wonders in the relationship. Because when I've been authentic and sincere and come from the right place with Cynthia, you know, there might have been bumps on the way there, but the destination was always better.
You've been listening to Girlfriend on BDGX.com. I'm Jeff Newman. I'm going to go get the podcast on iTunes because I have to re-listen to what Cynthia just said again, probably three or four times. You can get it for free on iTunes. You can also go to CynthiaChauvin.com, Cynthia, CHAUVIN.com, twodragons.com, another website for John and Cynthia for those who are interested. Again, you've been listening to Girlfriend. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.